You can open your Bibles again, if you would, to Joshua. We'll get into our study concerning this event in the life of Joshua and the children of Israel. I guess we can make a little application today concerning this study and this passage of out of Joshua. First of all, let me give you what's involved with our outline. There's four lessons for us to learn today from this example of the crossing of Jordan. I believe in our lives there are many Jordans that we have to cross. First, Jordan I think we have to cross is we have to decide, and many of you, if not all of you, hopefully all of you, have decided to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. So that's kind of a Jordan. You either decide to accept or reject Jesus Christ. That's simple. But that's your choice. God built us with a will. We can make choices, and that's one of the most important choices that we can make while we still have breath in our bodies, where we will spend eternity. After salvation, there's still many Jordans that we come across and that we have to cross to the other side. I believe that every believer must learn to step out in faith to cross Jordan, our Jordan, in order for us to grow spiritually, become more mature, and become more like Christ. That perfect part of that's not going to end until we finally meet him face to face, and we don't have to deal with Satan and all the things he throws at us as we come upon the Jordans in our lives. I believe the crossing of Jordan in our story illustrates faith, trust, and dependence upon God. What we're going through right now, I don't know many times how much information that we receive from the government or we can accept as fact or not, but we certainly hope that we're getting the truth, but we certainly can trust in the Lord. And we rely on him even to help us through this year that we have experienced, starting in March. Actually, I think it started before that. I think some people that attend our church here, and some of them are here today, I think had COVID as early as November of last year, if not before. And of course, I think, sadly, some people are accustomed to looking at such crossings in a negative light or in a negative way, rather than a positive way or a positive light. It's almost sad that, and we all have to work at this, we get caught up sometimes in too much murmuring and complaining. And I guess if the children of Israel did that, they would have ended up staying in the wilderness. But thankfully they had leaders, a leader like Joshua, that made sure they did the right thing. And of course, we know the story of the children of Israel. Boy, they had failed miserably as far as following the Lord in many things. And sometimes we fail miserably too. They considered, I'm sure, the crossing of the Jordan. I'm sure there was murmuring and complaining. Man, how are we going to do this? That's awful risky. I mean, look. You know, there's other times of the year it would have been a whole lot better when the water was lower. But now that the river was flooded and actually the water was overflowing its banks. Oh, man, this is going to be a risky proposition. Eventually, because of the ability and the faith of the leadership, they would see God perform a miracle in their lives. I've often kid, and some of you probably have heard me say this will be the first year that we won't be so much celebrating the incoming year as we'll be celebrating and making sure this year is going to stay behind us and we can move on. Sometimes the church, what's the church? That's you and I. We make up the church. We complain too much, or we become complacent too. That's one of the things that hurt, I think, the modern day church, is we become complacent. And of course, I think that chokes the life out of not only individuals, but chokes the life out of the church. So we have to be careful there. Let's look at the first lesson that we can learn from the crossing of Jordan in this story, true story in the book of Joshua. First of all, the thing that stands out in verses 1 through 5 is this fact. The people are sanctified. It says the people are sanctified. What does that mean? Well, the people need to be sensitive to God's leading in order to cross this what appears to be an impossible situation. They have to be sensitive to that. And notice also, I hope you did as we were reading through this passage, I have it highlighted in the scripture, and I think I tried to emphasize it every time I came to the highlighted word, but the key word, ark, A-R-K, is used 10 times in this passage of scripture. The ark was kept in view of the children of Israel at all times. Now, they could only get so close to it for whatever reason, and that's a different message for another time, but they always saw the ark. The ark was always in their view at all times. And of course, the ark, in a similar way for us today, the Word of God should be kept in our view all the time. I hope that on Sunday morning, or if you come on Wednesday night, but maybe you don't come Wednesday night, you have to work or for whatever reason, I hope you don't have to do this when you get up on Sunday morning and you come to church. I hope you don't, first of all, have to look around to find your Bible. And then when you find it, I hope you don't have to do this. I hope that you're using your scripture, the Word of God, each and every day, and filling our hearts and minds with the truth. Sometimes when you're getting down, you feel a little low. Some of the one thing that can brighten up your life real quick is to pick up God's Word and to read it and meditate upon it. That's what we need to do. God always goes before us and opens the way as He directs our path. We need to remember that. Sometimes when you have a decision to make, oh, we go to other Christians, we go to other people, we go to family members to get some advice. But the best place you can go to get advice is the Word of God. And let it speak to you and direct you. It's a light unto our paths. That's what the Word says. So we need to always keep that in the forefront as we travel and come across our Jordan rivers that are overflowing their banks. We must learn to lean on God's strong arm, not try to do everything in our own power and our own strength. Sometimes we need to wait on God's timing. Oh, sometimes we want to rush through that door. And so many times in the past, many of us who are rushing through that door find out that it's locked and closed, and we end up flat on our back because it wasn't opened by God. He didn't want us to go through that particular door at that time. We have to allow God to direct our paths and listen to Him. And not always to other people who sometimes tell us or give us wrong directions. Sanctification, let's get back to that word. Sanctification means to set apart. In fact, I think sanctification in a Christian's life is a threefold process. When you are saved, the moment you are saved, you are set apart. You are, it's pretty obvious God set you apart. Fact of the matter is, unlike some of religious organizations that make people saints, I want you to know right now that if you are a born again believer, you are relying on Jesus Christ as your Savior and nothing else. You have become, the minute you received Him as your Savior, you become a saint. Now, some people look at, you know, a saint, that means you're perfect. No, we know we're not perfect. But we know we have been set apart to serve God. The reason that we got saved, and when we got saved, God didn't say, okay, you're saved, come on up here now with me. Oh, that'd been wonderful. But He keeps us here on this earth for a reason and a purpose. He uses us to proclaim the good news and share the gospel message with others. But you're a saint. You're a saint. So it's sanctification. There's a past, present, and a future as far as our sanctification is concerned. When we become saved, we should be growing in the Lord. It's not a matter of, well, now I'm saved, here's my ticket, thank you, Lord, let me prop up my feet, and I'm waiting for you to come. Sometimes that's how a lot of Christians act. There's my ticket. I'm waiting now at the train station. No, you get busy. For the Lord, you grow, you mature. The Scripture tells us that. Now, there's a future to this sanctification, too. We will eventually be free from the presence of sin. And we will be with Jesus for eternity. I'm waiting for that being set apart. That's going to be glorious, isn't it? So just a little lesson on sanctification, a short one. We could spend a lot more time on that. Maybe someday we will. Number two in our four lessons, leadership is authorized. Joshua 3, verses 6 to 8. Leadership is authorized. Not only must the people be sanctified, leadership must be authorized. We have an event coming up here, hopefully, unless the Lord raptures us out of here, and Dan wouldn't be worried about that. He'd be glad about that. But there's coming a time. I think we have a date set as March the 13th. Is it 13th or 12th? Right around that time. Dan's going to be probably in this auditorium, and there's going to be a bunch of men sitting here, and he's going to be up in front of them, and he's going to give his testimony. His wife's going to give her testimony. And then those men are going to take maybe an hour, maybe a little bit longer, and they're going to fire questions at Dan. They're going to be doctrinal questions. They're going to ask him all kinds of things. What do you believe about this? How about this? And they're not going to try to trick him, but they're going to try to put some things out there that they want to know if he knows the answer to that. It's called an ordination council. A number of pastors who have had experience will question him, make sure that he understands. Yeah, he went to college for 4 years, but did he learn right things? Is he doctrinally straight and sound? What did he learn from Pastor Graham when he worked with him for however long a period of time? And if they are then satisfied that he is qualified to lead sheep, they ordain him. And he gets a certificate that says he was ordained out of this church. And those men sign their name, authorizing him. And can we say they are saying he is qualified to step in someday as a senior pastor where God has led him. Leadership is authorized. We remember how Joshua got to the place that he is now in. First of all, he followed Moses around from a teenager on up, and he learned from him. He learned how to do things, and he also learned from Moses as he observed him. I don't want to do it that way. Woo, that got him in trouble. So, it's important. Leadership is authorized. And of course, God is the one, really, who chose Joshua to be the next leader. It's important that a church body have confidence in their leadership. Do they have confidence in the deacons? Do they have confidence in the teachers who are in their position? Do they have confidence in the people who lead the youth ministry? It's very important, very important. Churches who have no confidence in their pastor can end up in trouble real fast. How can you know whether or not a leader is divinely authorized? Well, there's some characteristics of leadership. Consecrated, or holy, sanctified, set apart. Was he called? If God didn't call you into the ministry, you don't belong in it. Too many people, not too many, but one is too many, I guess you could say. But I know a few who would appear, God didn't call them into the ministry. Mom, dad, or grandma called them into the ministry. Now, you may not completely understand that, but God has to be the one that makes it very clear. I need to prepare because God has called me into the ministry. So very important. Consecrated, set apart, holy, dedicated, committed, and devoted. Now, some think that, you know, it's wonderful to be a pastor and it's so easy. Well, how many of you have been involved as a supervisor or in leadership in a business in the past? Some of you have been, haven't it? Isn't it wonderful how easy it is to work with people and they always love you and they never are mad or angry at you? Why aren't some of you smiling about that? But yet, when you're in that position, you can expect you're going to get some feedback at times. Well, a pastor is same thing with a pastor, but the pastor, most of all, has to love the sheep, the people that God has allowed him to shepherd. None of us are perfect, including the pastor. So there has to be that love. Amen? Has to be that love. Consecrated, dedicated, saturated. What do we mean by that? Well, filled with determination to do the work. Not come across the problem and say, oh, that's it, I quit. And then you stand up, and I've seen this happen in the past, too many times, a pastor will say, well now people, I have been here now a whole 3.5 years. But I just want you to know God has made it very clear. And maybe he's doing this on a time when the snow is flying around in Pennsylvania. But I just want you to know, although I love you, God has called me to Florida, so I'll be leaving in 2 weeks. Now, if God called you, that's fine. But if you're leaving because you don't have any more to say after 3.5 years, maybe you ought to go to Florida or somewhere else. You know what I mean? Saturated, filled with determination to do the work. I like the passage in Timothy where Paul says, I have what? Finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now I'm ready to move on and meet the Lord. That's the characteristic of a leadership. Notice how God worked closely with Joshua. I believe God spoke to him personally. I believe God always raises up a man to lead others. Not everybody can be a leader. One of the things that people who teach others and train others that say they're called to be pastors, one of the first things they look for in someone who says they want to be a leader, they want to be a pastor, the first thing they look for is, how do you follow? How do you take instruction? In order to be a leader, you must first learn how to follow. Take the example of Joshua. Like we said earlier, he followed Moses around. Moses took him under wing and said, just like now, somebody took me under their wing when the Lord called me into the ministry. And the pastor who took me under wing, what he would say from me to, from time to time, he would say, and he could get away with saying this and using this term, he'd say, Tommy, I want to show you something today that you didn't learn in books, but I'm going to show you something, and I hope you learn from it. Now, just sit there quietly, pray, and watch what transpires in this situation. First, leaders need to learn how to follow. And they need to especially learn how to follow God and wait on His leading and direction. And I think we see that in Joshua. Point number three, the Lord is glorified. The Lord is glorified. Joshua 3, 9 through 13. There are some people in the ministry that the congregation does them a great disservice by having a beautiful portrait made of them. And they put it in the vestibule for everybody that comes in, and they say, well, who is that? Oh, that's our pastor. Don't put my picture up. If you put it up, put it in the furnace room in case we have mice. But don't put it out and glorify me. Who really is the one who should get all the glory for any success that is involved with Cornerstone Independent Baptist Church? God should get the glory. Does He use men? Yes, but still, God should get the glory for everything. Everything that's even done in your life, He should get the glory. Unfortunately, sometimes people, especially men in leadership, get this idea, they did it, and they start puffing out their chest. And we have seen what happened to some of them in the past. They fell flat down on their face because they didn't give glory to the right person, and that is God. Just as God glorified Himself in the Red Sea, He glorified Himself in this crossing of Jordan. Just like He glorifies Himself in the Jordans that come into your life. He is the one who helps you to exceed and progress in life. I believe God loves to prove Himself over and over again to us. I guess that's another way we need to look back at 2020 and see how He even got glory out of this year. We can trust Him at the edge of our Jordan rivers, as surely as Israel and that leadership trusted Him We are exhorted constantly in God's word to walk by faith. Just as we begin our walk in faith after we first accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. He is still able to hold back the floods of life that come into each and every one of our lives. If we live long enough, we'll face some floods. The Lord is glorified. The last one, the word of God is verified. Joshua 3, 14 to 17. The word of God is verified. Every time we cross the Jordans of our lives, we should grow in grace and trust Him even more. And sometimes them Jordans can look very treacherous at a distance. Look at Romans 5, book of Romans. And we want to start reading at verse number 1, Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in, what's that next word? Tribulations. Also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. How often has God proven himself and his word in your life and mine? Sometimes you have to sit down and think about that. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. What a beautiful picture we have of our Heavenly Father. What a beautiful picture we have of our Heavenly Father in this book of Joshua, chapter 3. He wants to go before you and I. He wants to open the way. He wants to stand in the midst. He wants to hold back the flood. And he wants us to follow behind us as he protects us, as only God can. We can trust God to do his part. Are you willing to do your part? That stands out in this passage too. One last point I want to bring to your attention. Before God moved in a marvelous and miraculous way, the priest had to do one thing. They had to get their feet wet. Verse 15. Now it would have been great as they walked up to the Jordan River, and they're a football field away. And all of a sudden, woo, that miracle happened. The water parted and they could cross on dry ground. The leadership had to walk, and they got closer and closer. Nothing is happening. And they're noticing also the leadership. Woo! That water's a lot higher than it was months ago. It's running over the bank. I wonder when this is going to happen. And they're walking up there, and all of a sudden, It's over the bottom of my shoes or sandals, whatever it was. It's up to my ankles now. Okay, Lord, when? They had to first get their feet wet. And then God, now you where I want you. Now. The miracle. And the people are observing at a distance, the leadership committing first before the miracle happened. There might be some people sitting here today that you haven't seen the miracle yet in your Jordan because you haven't gotten your feet wet first and you haven't taken that next step. Oh, you'd like to stand back and see it happen 100 yards back, but God wants to see if you'll get your feet wet first before your miracle happens. So keep that in mind. I don't know what might be running through your minds now. I believe I know just about everybody here. We might have some guests that maybe I met before, maybe I didn't, but God knows our hearts. If we're all saved, that's wonderful. Great thing to rejoice about. But what's happening in your life now that you're saved, that God wants you to get your feet wet before he lets you know what he wants you to do next? Whether it be miraculous or whatever is involved in your life. Maybe even as a young person, he's working on your heart right now. And he wants you to start preparing, even at a young age, to be a missionary, be a pastor, be the wife of a missionary or pastor. They need to be prepared too. They need to get their feet wet right along with the person that God has chosen for them. All kinds of things. Things to think about today. As we get ready to move out of this 2020 into the next river, 2021. So, whatever way God's talking to you now, and whatever direction he is sending you to get your feet wet, follow him. And you'll see a miracle as he works in your life and as you serve him with all of your heart. Let's pray.